Poorly Read.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read at the Movies.
Yeah, so welcome to last week's episode. If you are somehow listening to this a week behind the episode that's currently out.
Oh, my God. Already my brain is in knots.
What film are we talking about today?
We're talking about Gorrest Fump. That's Forrest Gump,
that's
in case anyone had
a sexy name.
Gorrest.
Yeah, Gorrest Fump. Like, if I was flicking through, like, the hooker, like, yellow pages, I'd come across Gorrest Fump, I'd be like, what would his speciality be? He would be hairy, of course, but he would have, like, a huge tool that he's, like, they call me Fump for a reason.
Fumper.
Yeah, when I land that shit, your fucking mattress feels it. I'd be like, whoa. Someone bring me the landline because I'm about to make a call. Oh, God.
Yeah, so,
Forrest Gump.
Yes, the story of a well-hung male hooker who plows his way across America.
Yes, he has a van that he's painted. I don't know, what's weird 70s colours? Brown, orange, and yellow.
Yes. Yeah, they are totally 70s colours.
And he's got, like, fur-covered seats and, like, a little disco ball around the mirror.
Flared jeans.
And he's got a theme tune, and he goes like, ba-chicka-ba-cha-cha, chicka-ba-chicka-ba-cha-pa-pa, ooh, it's Gorrest Fump.
And he's just doing, like, the strut walk.
Ooh, with his club of hair around his dick. Ooh, yeah.
Because it's the 70s.
It's 1975. You're so glad to be alive. Definitely if you're white. It's better now if you're black. Though not as good as it will be. And even then it would still be pretty bad. Oh yeah. Gorrest Fump. Fuck it, oh no, we're talking about the Oscar-winning extravaganza with Tom Hanks and... I forgot everyone else's name. Tom Hanks, Sally Fields.
Yeah, and it's fucking... Did you ever watch House of Cards?
No.
She's fucking Claire Underwood, fucking Kevin Spacey's wife in House of Cards.
Who?
Jenny.
Sally Fields?
No, Jenny.
Oh, Jenny is so... she's one of the... Let me find her name just quick because it's going to bother me because she's really
I know it. I know what her name is, it's disappeared from my brain. So
yeah,
I'll tell you as soon
really
as it pops
famous,
back in.
Like, cause she
Robin Wright.
That's it, yeah. She was in like Princess Bride, most recently in the Wonder Woman film. She's done like a fuck ton of stuff. But yeah, she's really famous. And so one thing that I did find out, because it won like most of the Oscars that year and... Tom Hanks had won Best Actor the year before for Philadelphia, and he became the first actor ever to win two Best Actor Oscars back-to-back, and the only one since. But the guy who played Lieutenant Dan was nominated for Best Supporting Actor, but Robin Wright wasn't nominated for Best Supporting Actress, and I think that's a real shame, because I thought she was fucking incredible in this.
Yeah, she was.
And I thought all three of them very much deserved an Oscar nomination for this film. I will say, I feel like it's the performances in this film that make it an amazing film. Because for a lot of the time I was thinking, if this film was starring anyone of a lesser caliber...
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, if this film was starring, like, Nicolas Cage, Pamela Anderson... And fucking, I don't know, who would the lieutenant be? Maybe Bruce Willis on a bad day. Yeah. If it was featuring all of them, this film would be kind of ridiculous and stupid. But it's the talent of the actors that make it great.
I know what you mean. Like, but the first time you hear the voice that he's doing as the character, I'm like, oh, come on, really? That's not going to be how you speak throughout this whole fucking film, is it? But then you just sort of get used to it, and it just, like, you stop noticing it.
Yeah, I think the very first time he says anything, yeah, I agree with you, but he commits to it, like, so, like, oh. I was saying to Tom earlier, Tom Hanks' performance in this film, it just kept on making me cry at how fucking amazing he was. Like, I forgot I was watching an actor, that's how good he was.
Which, given the character he's playing, is no mean feat.
Yeah, and it's just... this is such a heartfelt sentiment. I think he's one of the best people in the world. He's one of the best actors that's ever lived. He's like one of the nicest guys ever by everyone's account. I'm just like, he's my fucking idol. I love him so much. And he was just so fucking good in this. He very much deserved like the Oscar for this, I think. So yeah, I just thought he was awesome.
Yeah, right into the pod, Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
Tell us how much you appreciate Gifton's compliments.
Yeah. So, dear Polly Red. As I have lost my voice and the use of my fingers, I am channeling this through my good friend, Mr. Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, I was going to say, why is he Morgan Freeman?
So, do you want to know what films this beat out to win Best Picture that year?
Sure.
I can't remember all of them, but the ones that matter are fucking Pulp Fiction and fucking Shawshank Redemption. And I think both of those are very much so better films than this film.
So yeah,
Won out over those, I think, is one of those like sort of like very common Oscar injustices. But alas, you know, it's just one of those things. Anyway, fuck, you know. Yeah, there's something I want to say up top. Just a short brief thing is that so obviously we make all the dumb kind of awful humour that we make as usual. And that's why you come here. You love it. You fucking love it, you dirty pigs. But I just, for the first time watching this time, I saw a lot of things in this film from a different perspective. And Robin Wright's, Jenny's journey throughout this entire film, I understood her story and her motivations, and I understood her character a lot better. And I kind of just wanted to say up front that for all the heinous jokes that I'm sure I'm going to make about her throughout this film, I don't take for granted sort of how important her story is, because I think it's a story that is shared by a lot of women. And I think her struggle and her journey is one that is shared by a lot of women out there as well. And so I just didn't want that to be taken for granted or for me to come across as ignorant as to sort of what that journey is like and what it entails, you know. I just wanted to sort of compartmentalize that for the listener. So cool. That when I make a joke about her AIDS-ridden fanny, you know that I don't really mean it.
I might mean it.
Tom might mean it.
No, I don't. I'm going to piggyback on the back of Gifton's disclaimer. Just, yeah, me too.
Disclaimer is a sex move that me and Tom invented a little while ago.
To give her the disclaimer. Oh, yeah.
It's when we're going to do it anyway, but like we kind of warned you, so you can't report us.
Exactly. You tipped that I agree to the terms and conditions box. It's not our fault if you didn't read it.
Oh my god, fucking hell. Anyway, let's start. Fucking Forrest finds a feather at the bus stop.
Yes, it flies up and tickles him on the chin. And he runs out into the road chasing it and gets hit by the bus he was waiting for.
Yes, and then he dies. And his mum comes out and goes, Forrest! Gump. and then the film ends.
Cut to Gorrest Fump.
Yeah. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, I hear you lost a son recently. Well, don't worry. I'm sure I can fill the vacancy in your life, Mrs. Gump. Gump Fump. In their plantation house, rocking back and forth, waking up the mouse is...
Gorrest Fump got no time for grammar.
That's always bothered me about Muppet Christmas Carol. Tom won't understand that because he's not seen it, has he?
He has not.
Yeah, you really fucking should. We're going to fucking do that this year for Christmas, apart from we can't, it's really kind of funny, but we should watch it anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry for my app. No, do you know what?
Gifted. We'll watch the Muppets.
I really struggled to remember the significance of the feather when it like happened again at the end of the film. I was like, I remember him putting it in the book, but I can't remember why it was a thing.
Yeah, it's one of the, I mean, it's not a thing really, is it? Okay. It's just one of those things that like a little visual thing that happens at the start and then that matches the visual thing to that happens at the end that felt like a kind of empty, almost like pseudo meaningful moment.
Okay.
Just to give it the illusion of a sort of all encapsulating theme that isn't really there. I sort of thought, fuck off.
Yeah, because I couldn't think why he would want to keep it in a book. Because I thought, oh, maybe the book page had something about birds on it or something, but there wasn't. So I was like, okay. But yeah, like we see if I can adult Gump sitting at a bus stop talking to a lady who's on her way to work. He just starts talking about his shoes and her shoes and about life.
I like your shoes. I don't know if I could do the voice.
I like your shoes. They remind me of the shoes Mama gave me when she sent me to the pediatrician. One shoe said, please. The other shoe said, shoot me. She was so disappointed when I came back.
But that's how I got real good at running.
You gotta run in a zigzag pattern, you see. Otherwise, they can shoot you real good. But it's really hard to shoot someone that's going side to side. Just ask Ariana Grande. Anyway, I can't do the accent either, of course. Yeah, but he's like, your mom always said life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
Yeah, just bang, catchphrase number one. In the first minute.
Mama always said life was like a box of... What other boxes of things do you get that are assorted?
Licorice all sorts?
Yes. Fucking hell. We ain't had them on the pod for a while, have we?
No.
Mum always said life is like a box of licorice all sorts. It's so rare that you get one that you're going to want to eat. Most of the time you get the brown one or the toilet roll looking ones or just the plain licorice ones with no fondant in the middle. Every now and again you get Mr. Birdie himself. He's so rare. I don't eat him. I save him up. I have 75 all on my wall. They don't last very well, but it's a nice timeline if you want to see the progression of mold.
Oh my god. Yeah, and like, well, for all this woman cares about what he's saying.
No.
Like, he might as well be saying that.
Yeah, she's just trying to fucking read her magazine. And I was thinking, like, if I didn't know that he was Tom Hanks, I would be exactly the same.
God, I would be exactly like that woman is. I think she does well to not get up and leave.
Same. I would get up and walk to the bus stop further along, for sure.
Yeah, I think I would as well, yeah.
Like, oh, God. But yeah, he starts just talking about how he was a kid and he got leg braces to straighten out his legs because he has a spine in the shape of a question mark and this makes him walk weird.
Yeah, spine's all crooked like a politician.
That's it, yeah. My spine looks like a hashtag.
Yes, I have four different spines all interlocking.
They call me Spiny McSpiderson, but it was a mouthful, so they just called me SS. But then they found out who my granddaddy was, and they thought, that's a little too close to home. Anyway, yeah, because he's named after his great-great-grandfather, who was like a leader of the KKK.
Yeah, which I completely forgotten that was a thing. It's such a little, like, throwaway thing.
Yeah, but I like that he was like, Mama said I named you that so that you can never forget that, like, you don't have to be what... Oh, no, that
sometimes people do things that just don't make no sense.
Yeah, like have a baby.
Which is a weird thing to give your child a name.
I'm going to call you Adolf Hitler. Some people do things and just...
Oh, God. Now you're going to have to explain that to everyone you meet for your entire life.
Adolf Hitler, take you, Shirley Schweinstein, to be my lovely wife. And I'm married.
That's... That Jewish name. It's, oh. So authentic.
Oh, fuck, you know. But yeah, his mum runs their like plantation house as like a B&B, I guess.
Yeah, they had all kinds of visitors.
Yeah, they had one visitor who looked like Charlie Manson. Turns out it was. He was my best friend. One time he tried to carve a swastika into my forehead. I almost let him until Mama said that it didn't mean what I think it meant.
I thought he was just drawing a picture of my spine.
He said, I want you to see from the front what you look like from the back. Yeah. Oh, God. But yeah, like, his principal says that Forrest has only got an IQ of 75, and that's in like the lower percentile of, because I think the average IQ is around 100-ish.
Actually, I have no idea.
Like, average person. Yeah, like, because I didn't read this thing once, that it turns out that serial killers, most of their IQs are actually average or below average. Like, they're not like super geniuses, like a lot of people think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so... Yeah, I think it's around 100 is like a super average IQ. And then so he had 75. So he was like just a couple of points below that. But the principal was like, he has to go to a special school. And then the mum was like, what about if I suck your dick? And the principal was like, okay. So they go home and they bang. They bang.
They bang with lots of animal noises.
Yeah, like... and... And that bird that can like mimic like any sound it hears. Have you ever seen that like footage of that bird?
It can mimic any sound it hears.
Any sound it hears. It's fucking nuts, dude. They set up a camera to capture it, and the bird started mimicking the sound of the camera shutter going off.
Yeah.
And when I say mimic, I mean like a 100% accurate.
I actually have seen it. I saw a...
nuts.
There's a guy on TikTok who lives out near where those birds are.
Yeah.
And he is like once a day sort of like just doing an experiment where he goes into the jungle and just plays like an AC/DC guitar riff.
Yeah.
And he just wants to try and sit. I only saw like the beginning of the experiment. I haven't seen how it came out. But he wants to see if they start singing the AC/DC guitar parts.
Oh, man, you have to tell me what happened. You have to find out and tell me, because that sounds fucking amazing. Oh, okay. My God, I'd love to see that. But yeah, so the principal was like, your mama sure does love you, so he's allowed to stay in school.
She got a whole safari up there.
She had every kind of animal. She had a hairy panda. She had a hairy orangutan. Now I come to think about it, she might have just been putting paper masks on top of herself.
All of them were real hairy, though.
Yeah. Combed, though. Combed.
Oh, very, very well-groomed safari, I was. But she sure does care about your schooling, boy.
Right, now, I specifically remember a scene where she takes him to the doctor's and the doctor was going to say something, but then she, like, fucks the doctor so that he doesn't give him a diagnosis. and it isn't in the film. And I was like, is there a different film where that happens then? Like, did you remember this scene that I'm thinking of?
No. But, I mean, maybe. Think, which one, did you watch the version on Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wondered if that might be sort of trimmed in some way. Because, now this, I might have completely fabricated this. But I'm pretty sure it's a thing where in order to give something a certificate of it might be 12A, you're only allowed one fuck in the whole film.
Yeah.
And one of them, so when he's coming up to the stage and it's like, the guy with an American flag for a shirt like to say the F word a lot. While Forrest is backstage waiting for him, waiting to go on, and you can hear what the guy's saying. And he said, whenever he said the F word, everybody cheered.
Yeah.
Feedback comes in over where he says the F word. And I was like, huh, that, because he said, you know, it's literally on cue for him to say the F word there, because Forrest says, whenever he says the F word, everyone goes mad, and he makes some big announcement with a pause for a fucking in it, does the thing, and everyone cheers. But it was, but the, like, mic static, like, keg comes in over the F, and then he says F again, where, I don't know why I'm not saying, we say fuck all the time. He says it again when Forrest is on the microphone. He's like, the war in Vietnam, goes, the war in Viet fucking Nam. So I guess they decided they couldn't do anything about that one, but I think they got rid of the other one. So I think it has been tampered with a bit.
But I wonder if this is the type of film that would have been like, what's it? So in America, this would be PG-13. I think the next one up is NC-17. I feel like that might be like a Mandela effect memory, because I can't imagine that they would have released this film as a 15 or an NC-17 because of how much of an audience that might, even though it's not aimed at a younger audience, I feel like rating it at that for the type of film it is
I mean, maybe it was always there. Maybe that was always how it was then. I feel like I remember, but then it's such a weird, random little thing to remember. Maybe I have just made it up in my memory.
But
then
this
says
is the thing, though. Like, this
places.
Like memory I have of his mum fucking the doctor. So the doctor doesn't say something or does give him something.
Well, that's quite an adult thing. That's a bit of a.
I just have a real memory of his mum going into the doctor's office and being like, is there anything I can do or something? Then they do something and then she comes out and then she's like, okay, Forrest, we've got your medication now or whatever.
Yeah, so because I mean, maybe if they were trying to cut it down from a 15 to a 12, that might have been something that went as well.
Yeah. Anyway, fucking hell, yeah. So he gets braces put on his legs and he walks like you would imagine someone with braces on their legs walks.
Yes.
And he has to go to school one day.
To go to fucking school.
On the bus. Yeah. He has to go to fucking school.
Fucking Forrest Gump.
And everyone on the bus is like, no fucking way, you're sitting next to me, you bastard. And then one girl's like, oh, you can sit next to me if you wanna. And he's sitting next to her. And it's Jenny, and they become friends.
Yeah, become friends like peas and carrots. Like that.
Yeah. Both vegetables I fucking hate.
I don't like peas. That's my insight.
I don't like carrots. Yeah. Let's call the whole thing off.
So yeah, they becomes friends with Jenny.
And there's a montage of their friendship where they hang from a tree and they paint on a thing and they throw rocks at black people.
That was also cut for the 12 version.
Yeah. My daddy calls his frowny brownie. So when you frown and you throw a rock at a local color person, if they chase you, it's your job to run around the house until they stop. If they don't chase you, then you just keep on going until they die. Don't worry, someone else will take care of the burial.
Or they won't. It don't matter.
It doesn't matter. Eventually they'll just become part of the earth. And Forrest is like,
Okay, Jenny.
Okay, Jenny. I'll agree with what you're saying if you put your hand on my braces. I know they're a little rusty. I can't remove them when I'm urinating. Anyway, so no, that doesn't happen. But like Forrest notices that she never seems to want to go home.
Yeah.
And yeah. And then he goes to find her one day because she didn't come to school, and she's in like the field at the back of her house, and her dad's calling for her, and Forrest, like, she grabs Forrest and they run into the field, and she prays and prays and prays that someone can take her away from her house. And someone does. The police come and they take her to go live with the grand.
Yes, they come and turn her into a bird. Yeah.
They do turn her into a bird. They say, "Have you heard of Nelly Furtado?" And she was like,
"Well, we're going to turn you into a pelican." So you can't even wait, pelicans do fly. I was like, think of a bird that can't fly. A penguin.
Penguin, ostrich.
There's so many birds that can't fly.
Yes, why are they called birds at all? They should be called birds. Look, have you seen my bird? No, where is it?
On the floor, where do you think?
Yeah, you couldn't miss it.
Not going to be in the sky, is it?
Each time it loses a limb, we have to take away a letter. Look, that's my... in the corner.
Soon I'll just be asking people if they've seen my D.
And while we finally use it, I'll have my penis in one hand and my D in the other.
And they won't know which little pecker I'm talking about.
And we'll laugh and laugh. And then I'll see what colour they are and see if they'll survive the night. Anyway, so no, like Jenny gets taken to go live with her gran in like a little trailer thing and stuff.
Yeah, and sometimes she would sneak out and come to Forrest's house because she was scared. And I was like, that's impressive to sneak out when you live with someone who's in a, just lives in a little caravan like that. Maybe she's a drunk and passes out.
Yeah. I mean, she was quite large, so maybe she just feeds her sugar until she passes out into a diabetic coma. Then just doesn't even sneak out, just kicks the door
course.
Open.
That's obviously the logical explanation.
Maybe she just killed her grandma that night and just rang it on her own. She's like, I could do whatever the fuck I want. I'm a grown woman. Oh, I was going to make a really horrible joke then, sorry. Anyway, so...
Sorry, you have to apologise, mate. You didn't make the joke.
I didn't make the joke. I just have to apologise for thinking it.
For thinking? I'm sorry, I had a bad thought. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, Black Jesus. I had a bad thought. Anyway, Forrest gets older, and then... there's like these not two montages because they're just scenes, but they're two scenes where he gets chased by bullies and Jenny tells him to run.
Yeah.
And in the first scene, he runs so hard that it fixes his legs and his braces fall off and he's cured.
Yeah. And in the second scene, he runs so hard, he becomes a professional football player.
Yeah. But like, look at that fucking guy run so fast. They're like, what color is he? They're like, white. They're like, ooh. How unusual. Get him a helmet, a jersey, and a pass. But yeah, like, he gets put on the football team because he can run so fast. And but he runs so far across the field that he just keeps on running until he like runs into like the vomitoriums, like that lead toward like the changing rooms.
Yeah.
So they have to put up like signs.
Yeah, later they have people there with like signs. They turn around. They stop, Forrest.
I thought that was lovely. I was like, oh. But yeah, he gets a scholarship to fucking, what college was it? I can't remember. Alabama College.
But Jenny went to a different one.
Yeah, she went to All Dogs Go to Heaven University. So I don't really know why that's funny to me, but it is. Welcome to All Dogs Go to Heaven University. Here we're going to be learning about why all dogs go to heaven.
So, you, where do all dogs go? Heaven, sir. You pass.
Here's your diploma. Look, I stick it to your chest. You get this heart-shaped clock. you get this, I don't know, I've got a hot air balloon. Come away with me, you look young and fertile. Anyway, so he... Is there when his school is the first in Alabama to get integrated?
Yeah, there's the protest outside, yeah.
Yeah, and one of the black girls going in drops her book and he picks up the book and gives it to her and stuff. Can you imagine if as he picked it up, he wrote, I hate you, and then gave it to her.
Guess who I'm named after?
Oh god. Anyway, he's like, yeah, that principal became president, then that president got shot, and then that's when the bus comes for the woman that he was talking to and she's like, bye. And then there's another woman who was on the bench and she was like, I remember when that guy got shot.
Wasn't it great?
Yeah, wasn't it great to see him get shot? And isn't it great that when you die you lose control of your bowels? I love seeing a dead person shit themselves on the pavement. I take pictures, I take sketches. If I can, I'll take a sampling.
I want to experience it in all five senses. Gotta get the taste and the smell.
If I can distract the police, I'd like to put a finger in there and just give it a little wiggle around. I'm like, ooh, it's gritty and it's smooth. Anyway, tell me more of your stories.
No, thank you, ma'am.
No, don't worry. I've got lots of little files over here. They've all got lids and little cotton buds inside. I can take samples of anything you need me to. Samples of your stories, samples of your dreams, samples of your masturbatory emissions. They call me Mrs. Grample Sample. Well, that's what...
At least they will when I get on the cover of Sample Magazine.
It's a complex application process, you see, because they have to send you a sample of the sample.
And then you have to take a sample of it.
So there's like three stages of samples. I never know when it's going to end up on the shelf. Anyway, he talks about how he used to go and visit Jenny at college a lot, and here starts to hit the sort of like fucking repeating pattern of her dating guys who treat her like shit. She's with a guy in a car and it gets a bit like rapey, and Forrest sees it and he just like pulls that door open and beats the shit out of that guy.
Yeah.
And she's like, Forrest, no! He was just trying to get rid of the baby. And then she's like, you can't keep on coming to rescue me, Forrest. And he's like, I bought you some chocolates.
Yeah, she's mad, but she takes his chocolates.
She does take his chocolates. I would take anyone's chocolates.
Oh, would you now?
Yeah. You could be the most crazy, most dangerous looking motherfucker I've ever seen. And you're like, would you like a box of milk tray? I'd be like, yeah, sure. As long as all like, the strawberry cream ones are still in there. If you've eaten them and there's just the nutty ones left, then you can fuck off.
And as long as there's something in there that's going to make the night more interesting.
So they go back to her dorm and he's like, oh, Forrest, why'd you keep on blah, blah, blah? And he's like, I just don't want to see you get hurt, Jenny. She's like, do you want to see my boobs instead? And he's like, oh.
Yeah. Let me touch your pee-pee.
Oh, now I understand why they'll call you Forrest Gump. Ooh.
Sure is a forest down there.
Sure. Can I thump your gump, Forrest Gump? Sorry, I was just saying that a gigolo who was passing through town taught me. You should meet him. I think you'd like him.
Yeah. Bump your gum till you lump your mumps. I never quite understood what he meant by that.
He used to say, I will thump your gob until I dump all over your lady lungs. And then I'll pump your rump. Crump. And I was like, what's crump? And he's like, I thought that was your last name. And I was like, no, my last name is Jenny.
Yeah, that's Jenny. And my first name and last name is both Jenny.
Yeah, Jenny, Jenny. Jenny. Oh, God. I keep on really wanting to make really, like, heinous.
That's all right. You did a disclaimer. You got free license.
I know. I was going to say, my name is Jenny. You fucked by my dad, Jones. But I like to abbreviate that to Jenny FB. Jenny Jones, FBMD. Then everyone thinks I'm important, you see. I show up on crime scenes with my badge. Like Jenny Jones, FBMD. They're like, oh, thank God you're here. Here's the card. Oh my God. Anyway, yeah, nothing really happens after that. He gets so good at football that he gets to meet JFK.
Yeah, plays for the All-America team.
Yeah.
Which is a thing, I guess.
Yeah, I was like, what? Surely these are only things when the Olympics happen, but okay. But yeah, and then the president's like, oh, what do you want, boy? And he's like, I really want to pee. He's like, oh, the boy wants to pee. How unusual. So he goes and pees in the president's bathroom.
Yeah.
But all he could think about is Jenny.
Jenny. Then he graduates from college and immediately gets signed up to the army.
Yeah, he's like, do you want to join up to the army, boy? And he's like, And he's like, good, that's the oom is a yes. Now put your fingerprint here and your penis in my hand. And if I jerk it furiously, your semen will be a sign of consent. Which is unusual because you didn't ask for any of this. But hey, this is 1965.
Now dump your gump, boy.
Dump your gump in this trunk. And he opens up a briefcase full of little test tubes with the cotton buds in. And then he's like, one day I'm gonna make a magazine. Anyway, yeah, he fucking joins the army and he gets on the bus and the whole kind of no one wants to sit next to him on the bus apart from Bubba. His real name is like Franklin something, but they call him Bubba.
You mean, the character's name?
Yeah.
Yeah. Benjamin Buford Blue. Don't know why I remembered that.
But yeah, then, yeah, Bubba's like, oh, my mom, she cooks shrimp, and my grandma cooks shrimp, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start my own shrimping business, and I'm going to shrimp all over the place. Going to shrimp on your face, I shrimp on your back, I shrimp on your crack. Crack a leg.
A shrimp in your crack. And start a new disease.
Yeah, it's called Shrimp IV. Anyway. So they start in the army, and Gump is amazing in the army because he, like, just accidentally gives the right answers to, like, everything. And he does everything, yeah, like, super
he's just
fast.
Good at following orders.
Yeah. And then he finds out that Jenny got thrown out of college for having, like, a risque pic that was not... Her tits weren't even out. There was just, like...
I guess it was just the fact that it was in Playboy, though.
Oh, was it in Playboy? I thought that it was, like, someone had found it and published it in, like, a magazine. But I guess...
I think it was in Playboy.
Yeah, it must have been. Like, who the fuck are that? How else? It's not like someone fucking could have took a photo on their iPhone and put it on fucking Instagram.
Put it on their blog. Yeah.
Yeah. So she got kicked out of college. So, but now she's doing what she's always dreamed of, which is country singing, but she's singing naked with a guitar on her lap and Gump goes to see her.
Yeah, first chance I got, I went to see Jenny and her show. Her dream had come true. Yeah, that bit got me like, oh. The way he says her dream had come true, she was a folk singer. That bit kind of got me.
She was a beautiful singer as well. I was like, oh man, it's a shame that this is it. Because I feel like if she'd auditioned for a different club, that she probably would have been put on their review. Because she was good enough to... But it's really sad because the pattern of her sort of journey in this film, is it because she was abused so bad at such a young age, she has this deeply, deeply instilled belief that she does not deserve to have nice things or to be happy, which is why this beautiful relationship that she could have with Forrest is constantly like jammed, because she deep down does not believe that she is worthy of a guy as wonderful as Forrest, you know. And it's a real fucking shame, because it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy for her that she could have been so much, but because she doesn't think that she's worth anything, because I imagine it's the mentality of like, well, if all those things happen to me, then I must have deserved them, kind of thing, that she doesn't seem to have got help for those things until she was a lot older, that we see towards the end of the film. And it's a real shame, because she just sort of undervalues herself throughout this. So this is what she settles for: fucking playing the guitar with her tits out, using her areola to pluck those strings.
I mean, that is a skill, to be fair.
Of course it is. She uses her mouth as a sample pedal.
It's funny, because there is a guitar pedal called Big Muff.
Is it? Yeah. She's like, I invented a gum. I was gonna say a guitar pedal, but she could have invented a gum too. I invented a gum and a guitar pedal on the same day. I call them Big Muff. One goes in an ashtray, 'cause it loses its flavor real fast after 30 seconds. And that's how long my song lasts. I don't come back, I reckons. Anyway, buy my song and my gum. If you buy them both, you get 30% off.
30% off my second single, One Hand in My Muff.
I got one hand in my muff and the other one's unwrapping this chewing gum and putting it in my mouth. Harmonica solo. Anyway, fucking hell, yes, someone tries to touch her up on stage and Forrest, like, hulks out and fucking dives over the thing. And he's like, no one touches Jenny's feet but me.
Forrest is kind of a beast.
He's awesome. He, like, I love like, just
beats
how
the
fucking
shit out of these guys, man.
And then he grabs her, picks her up and takes her on stage. And she's like, for fuck's sake, Forrest, why are you always coming and getting involved, man? And it's like, I didn't like the way he touched you. He rubbed your feet and he didn't put jam on it first. And she's like, oh... And she's like, oh, don't you ever just wish you could jump off a bridge and die? And he's like, what? She's like, nothing. But yeah, he's like, look, I'm going to Vietnam. And she's like, oh, Forrest, listen, if anything happens, don't be brave. Just run, Forrest, run. Run like I told you when I was 6 years old. Run like I told you when I was 18, but I look 29. Just run, okay? And he's like, okay, Jenny, I write you every day. Will you write me back? And she's like, it depends. If I can save up enough gum wrappers from my sales to create a whole piece of A4 paper, I will write on that, and then I will post it to you.
I'll just write Vietnam and throw it in the river. And if it's meant to be, it'll find its way to you.
So yeah, they go to Vietnam.
Yeah, and they're like the base camp. I mean, obviously, lots of horrible shit happened in Vietnam, but their like base camp looked awesome.
Yeah, it was like, I mean, if I was into like boy shit, I mean, obviously I'm into boy shit, but I mean, if I was into like
not that kind of boy shit,
then like I would have been like, obviously it's fun, like barbecuing, playing games, camping, warm weather, that kind of stuff. But they meet.
Yeah, they're like a holiday, like a festival holiday.
Yeah.
But overshadowed with imminent death.
Yeah. In fact, you know what? Fuck it. No, I would have hated every aspect of this unless I was in my own little, like, really pimped out Winnebago, which with a flushable toilet, hot water, and, like, a stereo system with a really good subwoofer. Yeah.
It's what you've just described is an entirely different place at an entirely different time.
Yeah.
I would have liked it, but only if it was an entirely different in every way.
But yeah, they meet Lieutenant... because obviously you're meant to pronounce it Lieutenant, and I'm always a bit like...
In British English.
Yeah.
It's an English, British-American thing, isn't it? Lieutenant.
No, it's a French thing. It's like a French-Belgian thingy. But if that's the case, then they shouldn't say Colonel. They should say Colonel Sanders, and they don't. They say Colonel Sanders, because it's the same kind of, like, stupidness, you know? I'd rather that they just pick one way to say it and everyone sticks.
Coming from the guy who pronounces half his words like the Americans do.
Yeah.
Mr. Trauma and Zebra.
Anyway, let's talk about aluminum.
Yeah.
So, a Lieutenant Dan is like, so guys, the most important thing is change your socks so you don't get trench foot, and don't stick your dick in a hole that you haven't looked in first. And then they're like, okay. And then they just start sort of doing the Vietnamese shit.
But if you find a hole that's clear, you stick your dick in it, boy. You get it straight in there.
You get straight in there, you take it out, put it back in, you do that as many times as you can until we go number three all over that shit.
Number three, boy. You talking about dumping my gump, Lieutenant Dan?
Course, Gump, Dumb Shrimp. That's my new band, Gump, Dumb Shrimp. It's me, my friend, Dump, and my other friend, Shrimp. We call him Shrimp because he's a smaller man than the rest of us. Almost like he was left in the tumble dryer 10 minutes too long. His real name is Jackson Van Housen, but we just call him Shrimp. He don't like it, but we don't care. He's half the size of us. What's he gonna do?
Yeah, anyway. The other guy don't like his name either. We call him Dump because he's brown. It's the '60s. What's he gonna do?
Oh, God, and they call me Gump because I'm gay and I work at a gas station, so. You could say we're a bit of a motley crew, but that name will be taken as well in 20 so years, yeah. So. Anyway, so they fucking do Vietnam stuff and get into all the pointless Vietnam battles and stuff. And one night when it's raining, Bubba asks Gump if he wants to go into the shrimping business with him after all this is over. And Forrest is like, okay.
Fucking all right, mate.
Yeah, I'll fucking go into your shrimping business. Catch loads of shrimp.
Loads of fucking shrimp. Live right there on the boat. Gotta pay no rent.
I'll tell you what, we'll even catch prawns. Oh God. Anyway, so yeah, he says, yeah, why not? And then fucking hell, there's a massive attack. And they produce some really good music.
Yeah,
and
some really good down tempo music comes on.
Yeah, they even film a video where the woman's just walking down the street for the whole song. And they're like, ooh, how artistic. She didn't trip once. you are my angel. Anyway, so fucking hell. Then loads of people get hurt, and then Forrest runs. But he gets to the shore, and then he realizes that Bubba's not with him. So he keeps on going back to try and find other soldiers. No, to try and find Bubba. But keeps on finding other soldiers, including Lieutenant Dan, who's like, no, just leave me here. I should die on the field. And Forrest is like, I can't let you die on the field. If you die on the field, then that means that...
It means you'll never get your band started, Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah, I need to hear what your first single is. I'm hoping your first single is going to be called Jelly Beans in the Forest. It's going to be about finding magical jelly beans in the forest. It's going to go like this. Boo-boo-doo-boo-doo. Oh, jelly bean on the floor. Put it in the ground, I hope it grows some more. Like a big tree goes up to the sky. Oh my God, it's kind of hot. It's jelly beans in the forest.
Don't try and control our creative direction, Gump.
I have about 45 seconds to live.
Yeah, there's more important things to be concerned with right now. It's like on the phone trying to get the airstrike in.
Yeah. Can I use the phone, please? No, no, Gump. No, no, no. Anyway, so the song, the second verse would go like this. Anyway, so he fucking picks him up and drags him to the shore. He finally goes back and gets Bubba, but Bubba's like been really fucking badly injured, and
yeah,
he doesn't make like, it.
Fucking dying, Forrest.
Yeah, that bit was sad because like they're like best friends, and Forrest got shot in his ass as he was running with Bubba.
Do you know? I remember the last time I watched this like years ago, I could not understand at all Bubba's last words. He says, because Forrest says, and then Bubba said something that I would never forget. And then Bubba says, oh, no. And then he dies.
Oh, right, yeah.
And I think he says, I want to go home.
He does say, I want
to
go
home. But I couldn't. Yeah. I think I had to put subtitles on eventually to work out what he was saying, yeah.
Wow. Maybe he was trying to give, like, I don't know, the middle eight for the song.
Yeah.
He's like, Daddy says, sir, I would never forget. Green ones grow the fastest. And I was like, yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do, Bubba.
And then how about we do like an echo out, so it's like, green ones grow the fastest. Oh, jelly beans, they're in the ground. Look at them, making the sounds. They rattle up and down, they rattle back and forth. Oh my God, they're growing off to the sky.
I'll never forget those last words from Bubba.
I rolled it down on a piece of the bubblegum wrapper that Jenny has sent me, and I gave that to
I found floating
Dan.
In a river.
Yeah. And I said, Lieutenant Dan, you must make a song out of this. It's okay, you can keep the royalties. Anyway, so they will get rescued. Fucking Gump got off easily because he only got shot in his ass. So they take the thing out and give him ice cream. Lieutenant Dan is like fucking just like... in the most depressed state of depression because he's fucking had his legs amputated and all he wanted was to die on that field with honor.
Yeah, like every one of his ancestors had.
Yeah, because like every single one of his ancestors had died on like in battle. And I completely got Dan's like anger throughout most of this film because I would have felt the same. Like, you fucking, why did you save me? I could have just died and that'd be done with it. Instead, I have to live this fucking like life, living on like government welfare in this shitty apartment, where, because we all know that like veterans are not well taken care of in America, you know. And so having to go through all that with no legs and stuff like that, with no real financial support to help him, it's like his life got infinitely harder after that. And he knew it was going to be like that. So during the night in one of the hospital stays, he's like, you Forrest fucking Gump, you took away my destiny. You took away my destiny's child. All I wanted to do was make a song called Say My Name, and now...
now I'm writing about this jelly bean shit.
I wanted to write a song called Jelly Beans... Jelly beans, jelly, jelly, jelly. And now it turns out that I'm not ready for this jelly. And there's a whole other song about it. What the fuck am I gonna write now?
Super Destiny Cup.
I can't write a song about having no legs. Unless I write a song called Independent Stumps. And it's like, oh, my stumpers have lost their legs.
Throw your legs up. No, no, wait.
Throw your dead legs at me. All your rollers who's in your wheelies. Boy, I didn't know that you could limp like this. Question? Oh my God, fucking hell. Anyway.
Oh man.
Okay, so fucking hell, that's the epic conclusion of part one of fucking Forrest Gump.
Yes, join us next time for the thrilling conclusion.
Yes, It's so thrilling that Tom can't fucking modulate his voice to anything but monotone. Can you hear that?
I never can.
Yes. Can you imagine if Tom lost his voice right now because he'd been smoking all his life and he got one of those like little like machine voice record things and we still had to do the podcast? I think I'd make you just type all your jokes out into like one of those like computerized voice machines so it came out as like a nice like American lady voice.
Also, to be clear, I've not been smoking all my life. You made it sound like I'm a heavy smoker.
Tom smokes 40 a day. No, only joking. Yeah, fucking hell. I've been gifted.
I've been Tom.
And this has been... fucking hell. Fade out.